7 o'clock. Good morning, Pyle. Hope you had a great weekend. Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. The most trusted name in automobiles. It is Monday. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Good, I guess, that all four number one seeds move on, though Houston got the crap scared out of them by Texas A&M. They ended up winning by 5 in overtime, but there was a period there where Jamal Shedd, he put the Cougars on his back, as he sometimes tends to do.
Yeah.
And so Houston moves on. The good and bad. They're bad and good in this case. Bad Colorado trail by 11 at halftime. The good, they came back and played hard against Marquette. And great win.
Oh, yeah.
Against Florida. Did KJ Simpson shove the Gators player? Because that was all the speculation. Was he shoved the Gators player to get separation?
Sure.
KJ Simpson said he fell down. He slipped. The guy slipped and fell down.
I would say that, too.
Of course I would.
I'm like, no, nobody's that strong enough to get me. To push me off my spot.
So the good was the win against Florida. So after the win against Boise State, was what, the first time since the mid-50s Colorado won back-to-back tournament games? I believe that's what I saw.
I think that's what I saw, yeah.
And then rallied from 11 down, had the lead. Tyler Kolek, the unstoppable left hand. I admire somebody because when I play basketball, I try to be as ambidextrous as possible. Mm-hmm. My brother instilled that in me. What he does with his left hand is absolutely insane.
As a right-handed player.
Yeah. Yes, he's not predominantly left-handed. No. He is a right-handed shooter, right-handed player that goes to his left as well as any guy that's naturally left-handed.
It's like, what do you do at that point if your Tad Boy's like, force him left?
Well, as it turns out...
He's pretty damn good to the left, too.
And for the most part, they could have played him straight up.
Yeah.
And he had 21 points.
Wouldn't have really mattered,
I don't think it would have mattered at all. KJ Simpson had 20. Great season for the Buffs. They outscored him. Buffs did 43-36 in the second half, but came up short.
Just a big hole. We got too big of a hole in the first half.
That trapping defense was creating a lot of problems for Colorado in the first half. They didn't really have an answer defensively for what the Golden Eagles were doing either. So it's still a great season for Colorado.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That win against Florida was a great game.
And for those like, oh, Ted Boyle, fire him. Really? Really?
Yeah. Why?
Why? Because they didn't get to the Sweet 16? That's a pretty damn good team in Marquette yesterday.
Right. That's the thing is you have to realize, one, where this team is and where they're at right now. Like, there's a lot of teams that are not at all going to fire their coach that had higher expectations than the Buffs that flamed out. Looking at you, Auburn. Thanks for nothing.
Absolutely.
Ruined my bracket.
And look at, okay, I get they played Gonzaga, but they're a lot, Gonzaga at one point looked like they were going to struggle to get into the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And I get them.
That's kind of crazy now.
McCullough being out, you didn't expect Kansas to make a deep, deep run. But yeah, they got thumped by Gonzaga.
They almost lost to Samford, Stanford.
Samford.
And it was real close. It's like, it was real, real close in the later part of that game.
But for Kansas to go out and just get crushed by Gonzaga, crushed, and almost losing to Samford, it's not good.
No, and Kansas, the second half of that game, they were atrocious. It was a good game in the first half. It was close. But for whatever reason, they just went ice cold. They could not hit shots. They didn't change anything. It's like, well, it's worked for us. Let's keep plugging away.
And the good was, I love the Oakland story.
Yeah.
Oakland story was fun. Oh, I can't remember how you say his last name again.
Bulky.
Gaulke.
Gaulke, yeah.
Yeah, Jack Gaulke was insanely fun to watch.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Yes, he was. But if you got a good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend, love to hear it today. Colorado women, they move on. That's a good.
Mm-hmm.
Bramlage was rocking. That place was packed to the rafters.
Yeah, it was.
Colorado women trailed close at halftime, came back. And at one part, getting out-rebounded by the Wildcats. And then Colorado ended up out-rebounding Kansas State in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Just an incredible second-half performance by the Colorado women. Now they will get either West Virginia or a rematch with Caitlin Clark in Iowa, who they lost to by 10 last year's Sweet 16. So we'll dive into some of that, get some of the sound from both the men's loss to Marquette and the C women's victory over Kansas State. We'll dive into that. How's your bracket looking today? You can text or call us on the team line, 970-242-1340.
Well, my bracket looks great, but I also know the rest of my bracket. So it's not going to finish great. It looks great right now with 55 points.
I'll be honest, I have not checked mine today.
You have 44 overall
points. Okay, that's...
Cake has 45.
Okay.
So, a lot of tournament left. There's ground to be made because my champion's gone. My champion didn't even make it to the weekend. Again, thanks for nothing, Auburn.
Well, my,
what are we doing here?
I had Kentucky in my final four. Thanks, Kentucky.
Ooh,
yeah, I did. Had in my final four, but I still have...
Still got your champ hanging out there.
Actually, I got my championship game still in play.
Yeah.
Though Tennessee made me a little nervous.
I didn't want to cheer against CU, but I needed Houston to win. Like, badly. And so, sitting up there, I'm still tops overall with 55 points. Very happy about that. But not too much more to be gained, to be honest. My champion is home.
Because I still have three of my final four.
Mm-hmm.
I have my championship game in place. So, I got that working for me.
Which is nice.
Which is nice. So... There's still a lot for me to be gained.
I have
moving forward.
I have three of my four still hanging out there. I have six of my Elite Eight. Kentucky, thanks. Thanks for that, Coach Cal. But hey, you know what? They made $1 billion in the NBA last year, so that's fantastic.
What was the number I saw? Oakland spent like $2.3 million.
And Kentucky
on their program,
spent like 25.
Yeah, it was like 24, 25, something like that. Yeah, because I have UConn, San Diego, Illinois, Iowa State, North Carolina, also in play, along with Arizona. Baylor lost.
Ooh.
Oh, woof. Houston. They have James Madison pulling off the upset again. So I got Wisconsin right. I think you got.
Yep. Same.
I said, yep, I'm gonna roll the dice on them toppling Duke, and that did not go well.
I thought that would be the case, that Duke would get through. I picked James Madison on the old sports gambling websites just cause. Got it first day, missed. With the game against Duke. I thought that would be a little bit of a closer game.
That's what I thought as well.
My Midwest bracket is still perfect. So pretty solid there. Missed Michigan State, Mississippi State. Thanks for nothing, Bulldogs. But other than that, my West bracket is perfect. My South and Easts are kind of a mess.
My East is still perfect. Let's see. And the others are not. That's only one that I have that's still intact.
We'll have the full, with bonus points, standings, like the top 10, on our Facebook start of the show tomorrow.
Okay, that'll be good. All right, so I'm...
Because that's not reflected. If you go to our website where you fill out your bracket...
Right.
That's the bonus points are not reflected on there. We have to do those manually.
And for our little thing, we don't do the bonus points. It's just straight up points that we picked on our bracket.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've got I've got room to catch you here.
Oh, you got plenty of, yeah.
Yeah, I've got,
absolutely.
But I need
things to fall your way.
Obviously, but it's, you know, it could be worse.
Who do you have winning?
I have North Carolina winning.
That's not a bad pick after the way they jumped up all and down on Michigan State's head the other day.
Yes, I have North Carolina winning. So.
Not bad.
Anyway, it's not reflected here on my bracket, though, that I picked North Carolina to win. I don't know why that is. I did pick North Carolina. I'm sticking with that. We're going to hold me to that, right?
Yeah.
It's recorded. Yeah, because it's not showing up on here that I picked North Carolina. I have my championship game, but for some reason it didn't. I don't know.
Oh, maybe it didn't select on the website.
They're in my championship game. I said North Carolina.
So you're telling me there's a
It's chance. On my written one that I submitted for Bracketpalooza. Mm-hmm. It's circled on there. So no, there's no chance. Okay. I already said that I was picking North Carolina to win. That's weird, yeah, because I thought I clicked on it. Anyway, that's who I picked. So give us your thoughts about your bracket today. Shohei Ohtani thing. MLB's looking into it. It's one of two things. It's either his interpreter stole from him.
Right.
Or Shohei Ohtani was making bets and his interpreter was doing that for him or was involved in them doing it together. We'll dive into it more later on. But
whoever was betting sucked. If they're down 4.5 mil.
It smells, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, there's something fishy.
There's something very fishy about how this whole thing is going on. Where was Ohtani's people said, yeah, he goes, the interpreter can talk to ESPN. And then he did, and then he promptly got fired by the Dodgers. And the interpreters also, he said he worked for the Red Sox at one point. The Red Sox are going, no, he didn't.
Yeah, and Cal Riverside is like, he didn't go here either.
He didn't go to school here. So the interpreter, Mitsuhara, definitely has a very sketchy resume.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes you wonder what's going on there. So we'll talk more about it later on as season gets ready to get underway. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy today. Text or call us on the team line 970-242-1340. Face of baseball sweeps the weekend. We'll have Prep Stars Mighty Mavs coming up in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. And a quick reminder, tomorrow for Mav Day, we'll be over at Cuddleboro Craft Coffee and Beer House. That is tomorrow, by the way, from 9 to 10. So we'll be over there tomorrow. So you can swing by, grab a cup of coffee, hang out with us for a little bit. I'm not sure who we will have tomorrow, but hopefully Chris Hanks will be over there tomorrow. And Maverick softball also sweeping Black Hill State. They played over in Denver this past weekend. All right, 7:14, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy today. Let's see. Dustin, my bracket looks good sitting in second behind the Buckeye Kid.
Yeah. Second place. For now.
For now. Let's see.
I know we got one from Ron hanging out there somewhere.
I was just looking at another one that we got.
Oh, yeah.
I said before the tournament that anything short of the round of 32 would be a failure with the CU team. Boy, the Buffaloes came through. I also said that Cody Williams was the X factor you need to ascend past a role player and show the lottery pick. If he was to advance any farther, he failed to do so. De Silva, Lampkin, and Simpson were stellar. I think that the team failed to perform beyond the sum of their pieces due to Williams' inability to become a star of the season in college. I don't disagree with the Cody Williams assessment.
I don't really either, no.
Cody needs to stick around another year.
Yeah. He needs, or else he's just going to get lost. He's going to be a 7th-8th man off the bench.
Yeah, he needs...
Unless he plays for the Trailblazers, who start 5 rookies and then all the
Nuggets. I just think right now, if you're an NBA team, you're a little cool to Cody Williams and It's always going to be a lottery pick. And
he's going to be as good as his brother. No, not right now.
Not right now, he's not. Not from what we saw. All right, 7:15, Jim Malone with the Buckeye Boy. It's time for...
What's happening?
And it's brought to you by ComWest, your technology partner. One call, one team, one goal, helping your business grow. ComWest helps business owners grow their business by providing quality, reliable, personalized technology solutions. They support and secure your business technology consistently and professionally. As your technology partner, ComWest maximizes your investment and ensures your office technology is working efficiently, giving you peace of mind so you can focus on growing your business. IT services to meet your business needs, PC and server support, business phone systems, surveillance, network support, cybersecurity, backup and disaster recovery. They serve the Western Slope. Give them a call today if you need help for your business. 970-242-8142 or go to comwestcorp.com. All right, lead things off this morning with the NCAA men's basketball tournament. It was a thrill of victory and agony of defeat for the Colorado men's basketball team. KJ Simpson's electrifying game winner against Florida moved seed of the round of 32 after a 102-100 win over the Gators on Friday. Then that run came to an end Sunday after falling to second seed of Marquette, 81-77.
They've been competing their tails off the whole year because you don't give up 61% and stay in a game. We rebounded the ball well. We fought. We battled. We just came up a little bit short.
Buffs coach Tad Boyle, Colorado trailed by 11 at halftime, rallying back in the second, outscoring the Golden Eagles 43-36. It was not enough as Marquette moves on to the Sweet 16. Buffs had four players score double figures. KJ Simpson leading with 20 points. All the number one seeds advanced to the Sweet 16 with North Carolina, Purdue, Houston, and defending champion UConn winning. Houston received a scare from Texas A&M, but the Cougars beat the Aggies in overtime 100-95. Tournament coverage resumes Thursday with the Sweet 16 on the team. Pregame starts at 4 o'clock. For the CU Buffaloes women, they're into the Sweet 16 of the NCAA Women's Tournament after defeating Kansas State 63-50. After trailing by two at half, the Buffs held the Wildcats to single digits in the third and fourth quarters. Maddie Nolan paced CU with 11 points. The Buffs women are into the Sweet 16 and face the winner of Iowa West Virginia. That game is tonight. Caitlin Clark and the Hawkeyes defeated CU 87-77 in last year's Sweet 16. For only the third time in franchise history, the Avalanche came back from a four-goal deficit to win 5-4 against Pittsburgh on Sunday. Colorado scored five unanswered goals, with the fifth and final one coming in overtime off the stick of Jonathan Drouin. After the game, coach Jared Bednar says his team never doubted that they were out of it.
They believed right until the end that we could come back and win that game. You could tell by the chatter in the locker room after one, after two, that they weren't going to give up on it. You know, coaches kind of felt the same way. If we tightened up our checking a little bit and closed the door on the defensive side of it, that we'd give ourselves an opportunity to come back.
Nathan MacKinnon had a record-setting night, securing his 34th straight home game with a point putting him in outright second place behind Wayne Gretzky, and broke Joe Sakic's record for points in the season with 121. Avs host Montreal tomorrow night, and the team coverage starts tomorrow at 6:30. Despite being shorthanded, the Nuggets took down the Portland Trailblazers 114-111 on Saturday. Nuggets played without Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. Reggie Jackson stepped in to lead Denver in scoring with 23 points. Aaron Gordon had 22 points, 12 rebounds, and seven Nuggets players were in double figures. After the game, coach Michael Malone says it was a good win without their superstars.
Anytime you can win a game without Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, especially on the road, you're always going to take that. Proud of our group for fighting through it. It wasn't easy. Give them credit. You know, they came out of halftime with a head of steam and got us on our heels. Down the stretch, obviously made enough plays to get the win.
Denver's now 14-2 since the All-Star break. They play Memphis tonight. You can hear that game on the team with pregame at 6:30. The Colorado Mesa baseball team's winning streak continues after a doubleheader sweep of Colorado Christian this weekend. Game one was another come-from-behind win as the Mavs trailed 6-1, came back to win 17-7. CMU scored 17 runs in game two, the first 13 off the long ball. Kennedy Hara with three home runs in game two. Saturday, the Mavs took down the Cougars 20-7 after seven innings and wrapped up the sweep with a 9-1 win. Mavs go on the road this weekend to Regis for a four-game series starting on Thursday. It was the home opener for the CMU women's and men's lacrosse teams. For the women, the Mavs were unable to overcome an early deficit, falling to University of Indy Greyhounds 18-7. Justine Anderson and Carson Dickey scored two goals apiece. The loss dropped CMU to 3-3. All three losses for the Mavs coming against nationally ranked teams. So the Maverick men, in a back-and-forth battle with Westminster, they survive in overtime 13-12. Hunter Holcomb scored four times for the Mavs. Dylan Pless scored twice, including the game winner in OT. CMU's back home Thursday for a night game against CSU Pueblo starting at 7 o'clock at Community Hospital Unity Field. The Fruto Monument baseball team split on their spring break trip to Arizona. The 4-4 Wildcats played in a tournament in Arizona and defeated Page 10-0 and West Point 7-0 on Friday before losing to Apollo High 5-4 Saturday. Sophomore pitcher Cooper Welling picked up the win against Page and going 5 innings and striking out 6 and giving up just 3 hits in the win against West Point. Coach Casey Sullivan was pleased with how two of his pitchers performed.
Parker Noah threw 5 innings, gave up 2 hits, 0 earned runs, 0 walks, and 6 strikeouts. And Scuba Smolinski came in to finish the game, pitched 2 innings, gave up 2 hits, and had 4 strikeouts.
Carter Hines hit a home run with Colton Hicks going 4-for-4 with an RBI in the loss to Apollo. Keenan Oxford hit a home run and scored twice. Grand Junction's 4-3 after beat Battle Mountain 14-2 on Friday. The Tigers' Zyler Fazzi drove in 4 runs with Cody Knott going 3 innings to get the win. He gave up 1 run on 4 strikeouts. Palisade lost at Holy Family and also played to a tie with the Tigers in Friday's doubleheader. The 3-2-1 Bulldogs lost the first game 9-3 with Easton Embry taking the loss. Embry struck out 7 in 5 innings. Palisade was only able to get 1 hit apiece from Dylan Larson and Braden Blanc. The second game ended in a 7-7 tie and was called due to darkness. Palisade's Kean Kinslow hit a double and went 2-for-3 with an RBI and a run scored. Will Seriani went 1-for-2 with a couple of RBIs. And yesterday in NASCAR, William Byron taking the victory at Texas on the NASCAR circuit. And that's a look this morning at
What's Happening.
Brought to you by ComWest, your technology service partner. If you need IT help for your business, call ComWest today, 972-242-2140 or 8142, excuse me, or you can also go to their website, comwestcorp.com. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, look back at the Buffs men's victory, or loss yesterday, I should say, and the CU women moving on to the Sweet 16 after their victory over Kansas State. That's coming up next. This is the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
They need a wake-up call.
Call or text the Jim Davis Show on the Chick-fil-A team line. 970-242-1340.
Welcome back. 725. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. The Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. All right, so start out, Colorado men just unable to dig themselves completely out of the hole. They did grab the lead late in the game yesterday, but they end up falling to Marquette. They just weren't able to, never able to really shut down Marquette. Marquette shot 67% in the first half and finished at 61%. Nobody shot the ball against the Buffs better this year than Marquette did yesterday.
That's how you get eliminated from the tournament.
Yeah, when you give up, 67% in the first half. And Tyler Kolick was a big reason for that. Just was absolutely unstoppable, as you mentioned, with the left hand. He had 21 points. He had 11 assists in that game. And then Cam Jones hit the 4 3-pointers in the first half. Colorado just, they got good looks in the first half. Bryan got some good looks. They all got some good looks. But they just could not hit anything from three-point range yesterday. KJ Simpson scored 13 of his 20 points in the second half. He also had 7 assists and 5 rebounds. Talked that he'll be a first-round pick, and likewise for Tristan Da Silva. But as we talked about, in the case of Cody Williams, he's not ready to go to the NBA. If you watched him in this tournament, it was a pretty disappointing performance for Cody Williams when there was the great expectation that, you know, he would be a lottery pick and there was a lot of hype about him. And Cody Williams was pretty ineffective during this NCAA tournament run for Colorado.
Yeah, he was a big nothing burger for them in those three games, essentially. He didn't do a ton in the first four that I remember. He really didn't do much against Florida. He had 12 points against Marquette. That was nice, but it kind of felt like they were going to be able to be within four at the end, whether he played well or not. which is not what you want from a guy that's going to be potentially a lottery pick. They don't beat Florida without Tristan Da Silva. They don't beat Florida without KJ Simpson. They probably beat Florida without Cody Williams.
Didn't score against Boise State.
Yeah, nothing burger. A literal nothing burger.
And so to me, if you're hyping him up as a lottery pick, he had 9 points against Florida.
Yeah, don't you need to do something?
Those are not lottery pick numbers to me.
And he had 21 points in 3 games of the tournament. Tyler Kolek had 21 points in 40 minutes yesterday. Yeah.
But for Colorado,
I know they're different players, but yeah. Still, yeah, it's a nothing burger for me.
When you're talking about a guy being an NBA lottery pick,
mm-hmm.
Don't you expect more than that from when they're in the tournament? When yep. Games, not the games in the regular season don't count. They do. They matter. They matter a lot. But this is March Madness. This is the NCAA tournament. And if you're considered a player of that ilk, that caliber,
mm-hmm.
should you not score more than 21 points in 3 games?
You should, yeah. You'd think so.
And for Colorado, program best, 26 wins. So there are a lot of good things for Tad Boyle and the Buffaloes. But for Colorado, it comes to an end against Marquette. And so, bring some of the sound from yesterday. Here's Tad Boyle talking about the loss to the Golden Eagles.
Well, it's another good game in March. Unfortunately, we came up on the short end of it tonight, unlike the other night. But give Marquette credit. They played well. We didn't have much of an answer for them defensively all night. I would just say that when a team shoots 61%, you know, against you for the game, almost 62%, and you still got a chance at the end, it means you're doing something right. And for this team, what that means to me is, like, they've been competing their tails off the whole year. And because you don't give up 61% and stay in a game. But we rebounded the ball well. We fought. We battled. We just came up a little bit short. And I thought we had our chances at the end. Had some good looks. Didn't go in. And it's disappointing. But I got a lot of respect for Marquette. They're a hell of a team, hell of a program. But I love this team. I love these guys. I love those guys in that locker room. And they got nothing to hang their heads about. They competed their tails off, not just here in Indianapolis, but, you know, in Dayton the other night in the Pac-12 tournament. And since basically the middle of February. So
thanks,
great
coach.
Year. 26 wins, something to be proud of.
Yeah, he's right about that. And Colorado,
he's trying to save his job is what he's doing.
That's right. You know, Colorado ended up hitting 10 threes yesterday, but in the first half, they were 10 for 30 from mm-hmm. three-point range. And they could not buy a three in the first half to save their lives. Where, give Marquette the credit, as we mentioned, with Cam Jones, he was red hot in the first half. He had 18 points, 4 rebounds. That ended up being kind of the difference, you know, at least to give them that 11-point lead in the first half. But the Buffs did not give up. Give them credit for that. And Tristan Da Silva talks about what the conversation was at halftime, down by 11.
Yeah, I mean, we knew we weren't playing our best game. It kind of felt like we were supposed to be down, I don't know, 20 or 25 the way we were playing. So, you know, we kind of had a sense or had a feeling that, you know, it was in our hands to kind of turn this game around. And you know, we had all the confidence to come out in the second half and battle the way we did.
And so for Tad Boyle, the Buffs finish up just short of the Sweet 16, which has happened the other five times, the other four times, now the fifth time.
Mm-hmm.
Colorado's been in the NCAA basketball tournament under his leadership. And the expectations were for this team to probably at least be a Sweet 16 team. But once again, I caution this whole thing of, like, Colorado needs to, you know, they need to fire Tad Boyle. There's a level of consistency that Tad Boyle has created. I know they're, well, they've reached their ceiling with Tad Boyle. They've reached the ceiling. They're never going to get any better with Tad Boyle being the head coach. And I think, boy, that is the to me wrong thinking when it comes to Tad Boyle. What he's been able to do at Colorado, a program that has consistently been one of an upper tier Pac-12 program, fair to say, correct?
Yeah.
Upper tier?
No, absolutely. Yeah. Top half for sure.
Top half for sure. And you go back to where this program had been previously, before he got there. This is a level of success that Colorado has not enjoyed until Tad Boyle got there, unless you want to go back to like the 50s and even in stretches in the 70s, that they have not experienced this kind of success. The 80s were a dumpster fire. The 90s were a little better, but not a lot better. Chauncey was there. They had their moment. But he's made them a consistent Pac-12 contender, now hopefully a consistent Big 12 contender. I just think that it's disappointing because the talent was there, because there's three players that are expected to be taken the first round of the NBA draft.
Mm-hmm.
In Simpson, De Silva, and Cody Williams.
And
two of those guys played real. I thought Eddie Lampkin was great in the series, in the tournament. I thought he was great.
I thought he was fantastic. Absolutely. Especially that first round game against Florida. The main round, not the
playing game.
But you look, Sox Walsuth, Bill Blair, Tom Abke, Tom Miller, Joe Harrington, Ricardo Patton, Jeff Bozdilic, they went to a combined five NCAA tournaments from 1956 to 2007, or sorry, 2010. So over 50 years, they went to five.
One guy's taking them to five.
Tad Boyle's gone to six.
Actually, yes, six.
You know, and in three of those, he's been a higher seed. So, like, I understand, like, there's expectations on this team, but once in the last 6 years have they finished under 20 wins. And they went 18-17. They missed the tournament. That was not this season.
Six times they've gone there. Five leading up to this one. Yes, yep. And sixth. So, and they hadn't, as I mentioned, they hadn't won back-to-back tournament games since 1955, since 69 years ago.
Yeah. And so I get it that he didn't live up to expectations maybe, but this sustained success that he has brought this program is something that you can't just dismiss out of hand. He's been ranked in five separate seasons. He's been ranked in the teens four separate times. There are a lot of good basketball teams out there. To be ranked in the top 20 is not nothing. At any point in the season is not nothing.
Playing the Pac-12.
You know, they got Arizona, UCLA at any given time. USC, Oregon's good this year. Yeah. You know, which, by the way, it was awesome to see Brennan Rigsby out there running around.
That was
sadly,
cool.
It didn't go the Ducks' way, but he's out there running around
fighting for screens.
Was pretty neat. You know, but there's a lot of good teams in this conference. Stanford had a good run there. They were kind of tailing off as Tad got the job. So, like, I understand he didn't live up to expectations, but sometimes being good is good.
And wouldn't you rather this team be consistent, maybe not always attaining what you think they should attain, and probably with their talent level, they should be probably a better team than what they were this season, even though they still won a program record number of games. And they had, first time they won back-to-back tournament games since the mid-50s. It just kind of cracks me when people, I just got to fire him. Underachieving. And so you're going to bring in somebody else, and they're going, is it a guarantee they're going to be better than Tad Boyle? Is that a guarantee?
And is it a guarantee that the guys they're going to retain and the guys that they're going to bring in, because some of the guys that Tad Boyle brought there are going to leave.
They're going to leave.
Are they going to be better?
That's a question I think you have to ask yourself. For those that were clamoring And this, in the course, when they beat Florida, then it's, well.
Oh, look at here.
And now today it's, oh, they lost to Marquette. Oh, mm-hmm. Underachievers. I just think what you brought up accentuates the point of Tad Boyle and the success he's had at Colorado. Because all those guys before that didn't take Colorado to as many NCAA tournaments as Tad Boyle has.
Combined.
All those guys.
It's not that one guy had a good run and then you had a couple of down this and down that. It's like, no, you didn't go at all under a lot of these guys.
And that was when Ricardo Patton was there and had Chauncey there that they did.
Yeah.
They got to the tournament, but I just think you need to be careful with this whole, yeah, you got to get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
Underachieving. Look at all that talent they had, and they didn't get to the Sweet 16. They got the round of 32. Cody Williams plays better. Maybe that's a different story.
Cody Williams plays at all.
If he shows up at all.
In some of these games.
As opposed to scoring 21 points in three games in the tournament, then maybe it's a different story.
Yeah.
Now, a team that is from the Boulder area that's going out of the Sweet 16 would be the Colorado women's basketball team.
Yeah.
So the Buffaloes into the Sweet 16 after their win at Bramlage against Kansas State. Place was absolutely packed, sold out for that game. A very tough environment to go into for the Colorado women to get a victory, but they get it done. Second half, they held Kansas State to 22% from the field. And they also forced 11 turnovers. And just an incredible, incredible performance by Colorado. Arianette Vonley, she almost had a triple-double. She had 9 points, 8 rebounds. She had 7 steals.
That's a hard triple-double.
Yes, it is.
To go with the steals.
And so the fact that they held them to 22% in the second half is pretty remarkable. So after the game, J.R. Payne, coach of the Colorado women's basketball team, talking about the victory at Manhattan against K-State.
Yeah, wow. Very, just so proud of our team for how we played today. The environment was incredible. Shout out to Manhattan, Kansas. The entire community has welcomed us this week. And that's great. That's a great basketball environment. But we love that environment. Like, we love being the underdog. We love, you know, we kind of thrive in that role. So I know that we are, as a group, we're very, very comfortable going into such a tough environment. Congratulations to K-State on such a great season. I know a couple of their seniors very well and just really proud of them for their careers. But yeah, just really, really proud of our team. When I look at the box score, any coach in the world would love to see a box score like this where you have 9 points, 10 points, 9 points, 9 points, 11 points, 10 points. Like, the balance on our team is just unreal. And I think that's really, really hard to guard. We executed some things down the stretch that were really great. Defensively, I thought our pressure was great. We were down pretty big on the boards at halftime, ended up out-rebounding them, which is just grit and toughness. So, yeah, just really, really excited to be moving on.
All right, that's J.R. Payne, Colorado women's basketball coach. And so for the Buffaloes, the women's team, they were paced in the victory over Kansas State with a good performance by Maddie Nolan. She had 11 points. But as J.R. Payne referenced, I mean, it was up and down the score sheet, 10 points, 9 points, 8 points. A lot of players contributed. And Nolan talks about, particularly in the third quarter, the way they really were able to get after the Wildcats defensively. Here's the Buffs, their top scorer from the game against Kansas State, Maddie Nolan, with some comments about that third quarter that really switched turned the tide for the Buffs women's basketball team.
I turned to Tam at the end of that third quarter, and we were up 10, and I said, Tam, that was because of you. And you know, I think she had 8 points in a row there, something crazy like that. And it kind of played off of our defense, I feel like. You know, we were getting stops, and then Tam did a tremendous job running down the court. Kendall found her. And even Nettie, the whole game, you know, she was running, and that opened up a lot of transition looks for us in general. So, obviously, Tam had a huge part in that, but just our team in general, I think our defense definitely sparked that.
Referring to Tamia Sadler, came off the bench, scored 10 points. She also really got after it defensively. Coming up, I think she had 7 steals in the game for Colorado. And so they had almost 11,000 fans at Bramlage to watch that game. And the Buffs, so the 17 steals, second most they've ever had in an NCAA tournament game. And mentioned the 22% they held Kansas State to in the second half. They held them to 38.5% for the entire game. So now they await the rematch potentially with Iowa and Caitlin Clark. They have West Virginia tonight, the Hawkeyes do. And so it'd be a rematch of last year's Sweet 16 game, which the Buffs lost 87-77.
Is somebody going to punch Caitlin Clark in the face? Like, holy cross. Holy left cross. Did you see that?
Yeah, she took, yeah.
Jeepers creepers. And then the former McLovin, Andrew Perloff, who's on before us on CBS Sports, a 2-year-old could see that wasn't intentional. She punched her in the face. Like, she was an arm's length away and clobbered her right in the kisser. And it didn't matter because Iowa still won by 26.
Yeah. Yeah, she, yeah.
Yeah. Holy left cross, Batman. Jeepers. Yeah, that was...
It was an intentional foul.
Like, how do you get to play the rest of the game? I have no idea.
Yeah, for him to go, well, was it that bad?
Yeah. A 2-year-old. Well, maybe you're a 2-year-old. Because you're an idiot, but that was...
I'm going to venture guess if Perloff took a shot like that, he'd be in fetal position on the floor crying.
Yeah. That was not a very good look for Holy Cross there.
No, Holy Right Cross is like you mentioned.
Man.
And she got up and then took the free throws because she's Caitlin Clark and was a Bronna Power Cassidy. Was the one who drilled her in the chops.
Yeah, that's yikes.
And the crew calling the game said she was just simply making a basketball play.
Like hell. I'm sorry. I you know, I think Caitlin Clark is great. I'm not this huge super fanboy, you know.
Yeah,
but
I like her.
That's dirty, and that's
her.
As dirty as it gets.
Yeah, and to minimize it as that was... No big deal.
Like, what for who? What type of basketball play is that? Ron Artest? Like, sorry, Meta World Peace? Rasheed Wallace, like Draymond? You know, like, whose basketball play is this? Jake Paul? Like,
yeah, I didn't realize MMA was now mixed in with women's college basketball.
Like, are they going to get to wear fingerless gloves now? Is that... Ohio State probably could have used a little punch him in the face action too against Duke. Man alive. What just a wet fart in the second half in that game. I'm sorry. That was atrocious.
You be okay Duke, after that?
I don't know. The national championship in women's hockey helps, but oof. Outscored 24-13 in the fourth quarter at home. Thanks. Thanks for nothing. Talk about a team that underachieved. It's not CU. It's that team. Yikes.
Oh, yeah, she got her the really good. I mean, because I hadn't.
You hadn't seen it full speed, had you?
I hadn't seen it full speed.
She got
Cause it initially
popped.
Because like, initially it looks like that was it Booth tries to, she's just trying to step around Clark, trying to step through. Like it's like a swim move, if you will, in football. Like a defensive end.
There's
but
she, space.
But the elbow comes up.
Yeah.
And drills Clark right in the side of the head.
Mm-hmm. There was space she could have gotten clear without, you know, punching her in the face.
I'm like, what was the play? Was it? Well, I think it was the Colorado game. Where I think DeSilva got called for an offensive foul. I believe it was Justin DeSilva got called for an offensive foul, where guy contacts him, and it probably should have been a blocking foul, and then he spins backward and falls backward.
Oh, and he caught him with the forearm or whatever? Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that one.
I mean, that was a That was a blocking foul. That was not an offensive foul. Not that they lost the game because of that. That was not.
But Auburn lost. You had to get some SEC teams to win and didn't work out.
All right, 7:47. It's time for sound check this morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Well, one of the SEC teams that's actually winning and continuing to win is Alabama. Alabama is into the Sweet 16 for the second straight year. Nate Oates and the crew beating Grand Canyon 72-61. A game Grand Canyon
lost. Just don't get anything on the jacket.
Yeah. Ooh, that jacket. Not a good. That was bold. That was a bold choice by Nate Oates.
Nothing gets spilled on that jacket, though.
If Nate Oates is in the NBA, he would be fined back to the Stone Age for the mid-game interview he did with the folks from Turner.
Keep an eye on Nate Oates there in the background. Obviously frustrated with this call. We zoom in. He thought that there was a foul call. We play on instead. Not happy. Nate Oates slapped with a technical foul going into the break. Brings a good time for Lauren to chat about it with him.
Coach, I just saw you talking to the ref. What'd you say to him? You thought it was a foul?
Yeah, I mean, the calls down here aren't equal to the calls down there. Like, we got the soft touch fouls and we get twice back to back. We get fouls and there's no call. Like, they're two different refs, but they got to have consistency within the crew. I'm not happy with it.
No, not at all. Happy with it.
Not happy with it at all.
Who was the coach that, it was Michigan State, UNC, Hubert Davis. Like, wouldn't even let the reporters, like, we got to be tougher. We just got to be tougher. They're getting too many easy bats. Then it walks off. It was great.
I've had enough.
The reporter, poor girl, she's like, all right, then.
Oh.
It was great.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. And there's some basketball coaches in the tournament. They want to see the NCAA tournament change in terms of who gets in. I don't know if you caught the Tom Izzo comments from the weekend, but we're going to dive into that for just a moment. We'll take a break and return. 7:49, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. It's Monday, the good, the bad, the ugly. Send us your list today on the team line, 970-242-1340.
It's a good show.
Probably the best show around.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, The Team.
Welcome back, Jim and the Buckeye Boy. Got some thoughts about the Buffs loss yesterday to Marquette. Tony enjoying your wet fart comment today. Says it's priceless.
It was. I mean, it was not a great effort.
No. That's a good way to describe it for your Ohio State.
Pretty much.
All right. One of the things that makes March Madness great is the Cinderella stories, the upsets, correct? Isn't that one of the great things about
James Madison, Grand Canyon.
Exactly. Oakland.
Yes.
Over Kentucky. Those are the things that make the tournament great, unless you're talking to Tom Izzo, who in the past has always been, refers to himself as Division II guy. Always looking after the little guys. I throw the BS flag on that, Tom Izzo. Because Tom Izzo, before they played Mississippi State, made the comment that they asked him about the state of the NCAA tournament and the possible elimination of automatic bids for mid-major conferences. And he didn't directly support the idea, but he did say it should be seriously examined. I just think what's happening now, everybody likes the upsets in the first weekend, but I'm not sure moving on, that's what's best for the game. I think it's got to be looked at seriously. Why?
You know why.
Because
Big Ten teams keep getting upset by these mid-majors, and it costs the conference money.
But Tom Izzo, don't be, I'm for the little guy.
Right.
I'm D2 guy. Cut my chops, at small schools. And then go out and say, I think these upsets are really terrible for college basketball.
God, we can't beat these more experienced teams with the way our teams are assembled. We need to eliminate. Now, it's not that we have to get better. It's the other teams have to go.
Come on, Tom Izzo. I've lost so much respect for Tom Izzo the last 3-4 years with his approach to what happened with Larry Nassar at Michigan State, own problems on his own team. And then you make a comment like this. Part of the fun, part of the excitement is the upsets. That's what makes March Madness great. Not let's having more power conference teams into March Madness. We'll take a break and come back.